I'll call the Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the date is Tuesday, February 10th, and the time is 9:10. Present are Vice Chair Senator Meyer, Senator Pasvan, Senator French, Senator Kukesh, and myself, Senator Menard. On the agenda today, we have two items: governor's appointments and Senate Bill 45, Veterans Cemetery Fund License Plates. My intention today is to hear from the sponsors, the two sponsors that are recognized here as Senator Huggins and Senator Terrio, of Senate Bill 45 first, and then we will set aside the bill in order to hear Faith Peters, the governor's nominee for the Board of Human Rights Commission. She is taking time out from a conference in Anchorage to be on the phone with us to answer any questions we have of her. We have a committee substitute, and I ask for a motion to adopt the versions as our meeting document.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move that we adopt CS. Let's see if I have it here. I think it's CS for Senate Bill 45 is the working document for the purposes of discussion.
Okay, now I would allow, thank you, Senator Myers, the Senators Huggins and the Senator Terrio to present their bill, and you can both come up.
And Madam Chair, just for a point of clarification, is that black slash S Sierra?
Yes.
So we're all working on? Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification. Would you state your name, please?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. Charlie Huggins, District H from Mighty Matsu. And glad to see the committee members.
And Senator Jean Terrio, Senate District F.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, I'll be relatively brief. But I would be remiss if I didn't point out that the book that I have has three great Americans on the cover, just sort of representative. And I would just direct your attention to the one where my thumb is here. And that young man's name was Grant Fraser, who has served our country, who his mom is sitting right there, Sharon Long, and he was a Marine in Iraq and was KIA. Number one, thanks for the opportunity to present Senate Bill 45. And let me just go back a little bit, because over my left shoulder here is an airborne trooper from the 173rd, Joe Fields, who's from the Fairbanks area. And Joe and I started talking about this a number of years back. And actually, it was about 5-plus years ago when General Campbell and I were up in Fairbanks, and we were at the VFW State Convention, and the mayor of the borough was there, and we started talking about doing a state cemetery in and about Fairbanks because of the density of military people and things of that nature. And Senator Terrio will say more about that. So that was a kickoff. And then we started looking at how to make that happen. And let me point out to you a little bit about veteran cemeteries in the state. You may or may not realize that we have two veteran cemeteries, national cemeteries in the state. One's in Sitka, which has a shelf life of something less than 10 years because it can't be expanded because of the property. And then one at Fort Richardson, which probably has a 50, maybe unlimited life because there's not unlimited terrain, but a lot of terrain. Both of them are aided by the fact that internment is, there's more and more people being cremated, so that less space, and so maybe a little longer life in that respect. And then what we're talking about here, though, is the state cemetery. And just kind of review what state cemeteries means is that we, the state, supply the land. Now, the federal government, the Veterans Administration, builds the cemetery, and then they give us the keys, and then we operate the cemetery. And you will notice that the fiscal note for the bill is $250,000 starting in 2012, as I recall, and that's the operational cost. And I think that number is a little bit low, but let's say it's $250,000 a year. Now, what you don't see before you is that in DMVA's budget, there's $750,000.
Is that correct?
$750,000. That is the application fee process, which we have to go to the feds to start the clock of them building a state cemetery. So I just say that as by way of background. What the bill before you does, Senate Bill 45, does multiple things. Number one, allows us to have a fund to put money into, and license plate, veterans license plates being one of the sources for that. We can appropriate money to it, and it doesn't lapse. It's cumulative, number one. Number two, this bill expands veterans' hiring preference to National Guardsmen. So it doesn't make a big hole in the, if you will, the hiring process. It just expands it to National Guardsmen. So I think that's an important point for us to realize. And finally, when you look at around the state, there's a couple of, just to digress from us, a couple of communities have done some rather innovative things, Bethel being one of them, as an example. They got a grant, and they, along with the local government, created their local cemetery that had a veterans component to it, and so that's another way to skin this cat. But this one is designed so the federal government will build it, and we have to the operational cost. It is the wave of the future. National cemeteries are becoming a minor piece as far as construction. If you go to places like Florida, Arizona, California, they're building state cemeteries at a very, very rapid rate and can't stay ahead of the mortality rate of veterans, because particularly for the War II mortality rate. And with that, Madam Chair, I think I've run out of my memory bank.
Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there any members that have questions of Senator Huggins at this point?
Okay. Thank you. I've got to go to finance.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I didn't know you were leaving, but I could ask a question.
Okay. Senator Kukesh.
Title. What's the difference between a veteran, and I'm not being disrespectful here or not, I just don't know. What's the difference between a veteran and a prisoner of war? Aren't they one and the same, or sometimes can be, or is there a difference where you have to have veterans and prisoner of war
in? No, you can, it can be different.
Okay.
I mean, you can, in fact, be a prisoner of war without being in the military.
Okay, good.
So it's hair splitting, but it's one of those that, for the legality of it, it's one that we just recognize as a separate category. And you know, quite frankly, I think in the culture of military, those that are quote veterans but were POWs have a little higher stature because they paid a little higher price, for lack of it. A little is an understatement for maybe their experiences as a prisoner.
And a follow-up, go ahead.
I just wonder if people like myself who don't know, what there'd be probably a lot of other people, is there someplace in the bill that has a statutory definitions for those people who are not veterans but could be prisoners of war? Mm-hmm. I mean, or something like that. It seemed to me something like that would be needed, because if I have the question, I'm sure other people would too.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, I don't know the answer to that. But it's a good point, and we'll have Sharon Long and Heather take a look at that. I think Senator Terry and I would agree with that. Thank you very much.
Then I just have one. Are you?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, I just have one quick question of Senator Huggins. You mentioned the national cemeteries being in Sitka and Fort Rich. Are National Guards currently allowed to be buried there as well?
Yeah, they're veterans.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Kukesh, I'll take a stab at answering your question. The bill, the text of the bill does not give the definition that I think that you would be looking for, but I would expect that the state regulations and the combination of the state regulations and the U.S. code would be where you would get that very detailed definition of who would qualify. And of course, in order to construct the cemetery, have people interred in the cemetery, Section 9 talks about adhering to a section of U.S. codes on who, how we qualify for the cemetery to be built in the first place, and then who's qualified to be interred there.
Okay, thank you.
So with that, Madam Chairman, just a little more information. As Senator Huggins indicated, Alaska has the highest number of veterans per capita of any state in the nation. It's estimated the state with a population of just over 600,000. That there's roughly 100,000 veterans in the state of Alaska. The veterans population continues to grow and is becoming increasingly difficult to obtain burial plots for the veterans in the state of Alaska. So the purpose of this bill, as been stated, is to have a veteran cemetery constructed in the interior part of the state, so that veterans no longer have to travel the 350 miles down to Fort Richardson, or 750 miles roughly to Sitka or southeast. The Fairbanks area has the second densest population of veterans in the state, estimated to be around 11,000. Fairbanks is centrally located. It's also a hub for many of the interior villages that are connected or close to the road network. It also is very close, of course, to Fort Wainwright, Eielson Air Force Base, Fort Greeley, and Clear Air Force Station down in the Denali area. The U.S. Veterans Administration estimates that 15,000 veterans will pass away over the next 10 years in interior Alaska. It's estimated that 50% of those veterans would seek to be buried in a veteran's cemetery, and at least one family member for each two veterans would seek to be buried there also. So that gives us an estimated approximation of 1,125 eligible persons seeking burial over the next 10 years, with an average of approximately 112 per year. So you can see as Senator Huggins indicated, the demand for these spots as people get to the age of passing away is growing across the nation, and certainly here in the state. Then if I could just quickly walk you through the sections of the bill, of the proposed CS. Section 1 allows for money from the veteran's license plate to be deposited on a yearly basis by the legislature into the veteran's cemetery fund. That, of course, is permissive language. The legislature would have to make an appropriation on a yearly basis to do so. Section 2 allows the state to accept gifts to establish and maintain the veteran's cemetery. Right now, it is unclear whether the state can accept gifts of lands or funds for that purpose, so that puts a new section in statute to make that very clear. Section 3 creates the Alaska Veterans Cemetery Fund as a subaccount in the general fund, and that the language to do that takes quite a few pages. It's just that page. Then Section 4, starts the hiring preference. And in this bill, when the legislation was being drafted up, Senator Huggins asked the DMVA if there were other veterans issues that needed to be worked on this year. And the comment back from the department was that there was an issue with the veterans' hiring preference that just begged for clarification. And so working with the drafters, Sections 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 provide that clarification. Really is, it's my understanding, is not an expansion of the hiring preference, but just a redrafting of that language. Again, that's Sections 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. We do have personnel here from the department that can clarify the way that language is drafted if you have specific questions on that. And then finally, Section 9 of the bill allows DMVA to establish a veterans cemetery, again, according to U.S. code. And you can see this is the part that was changed in the CS. We have moved a reference to that U.S. code up to the beginning of that section, which is new section 44-35035 on page 8, line 9. It says the department may, subject to the requirements of 38 U.S.C. 2408, establish and maintain a veterans cemetery. So we wanted to make it very clear that we are doing this in accordance with the federal requirements. We wanted to make it very clear that we're not proposing to build veterans cemeteries all over the state. We're going to follow the federal regulations and their allowance for where you can, in fact, establish the veterans cemetery. And so with that, I'm available to answer questions if you have any, or as I've mentioned, we have individuals from the department to answer technical questions.
Senator Terrio, so in essence, that relates to the population and the number of vets that can be this Senate.
Yes, it is my understanding that under that U.S. code, that speaks to how close is the nearest alternative cemetery, What population do you have?
And the number.
Things of that nature.
Okay, yes. Thank you. Any members? Senator Kukesh.
When you establish this cemetery fund, is it it's going to be available to the Sitka Fairbanks and the one at base? What about, you mentioned one in Bethel. Would something like the Bethel one be available, would that money be available to something like the Bethel one that was established separately?
I think that would be a good question for a member from the department. I don't want to misstate. I'm not sure if it would cover that one or not.
Before he answers that, is there any other questions from Senator Terry? Okay, go ahead, please. State your name and your affiliation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is McHugh Pierre, Legislative Liaison for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Through the Chair, Senator Kukesh, the cemeteries in Sitka and Fort Richardson are national cemeteries and are nationally funded. So we have no obligation whatsoever there. It's a way for the veterans to fully realize their benefits that they've earned, established by the federal government. The Bethel Cemetery was established to have a place for veterans and non-veterans to be buried in the Bethel area according to the desires of the city. It does not meet the federal Veterans Affairs requirements, and therefore a veteran may not receive their full benefits by being buried there. However, if a person from the Bethel region is interested in being buried there, the city does work with the state, not through our department, and will facilitate that effort. The Fairbanks Cemetery specifically meets all of the federal Veterans Affairs regulations and requirements, and therefore a veteran may receive their full benefit of burial rights at that cemetery.
Could I follow up then?
Yes, follow
maybe
up.
I'm just reading it wrong. It says Veterans Affairs to establish and maintain Alaska Veterans Cemeteries. I mean, you're talking like it's only available to one, so I'm just a little bit confused there.
Through the Chair, Senator Kukesh, there could be more in the future. However, right now, according to the regulations through the Federal Veterans Affairs, Fairbanks is the only area of the state that qualifies. In fact, it barely qualifies. The Federal Veterans Affairs is almost making an exception for us because the population is so small, but we do we exceed the 75-mile radius that the Federal Veterans Affairs is trying to get. They want a cemetery within 75 miles of every major veterans establishment. And certainly Fairbanks meets that qualification, but the population is extremely low. They realize that Alaska is the exception, and they're willing to work with us to make this cemetery a reality for those veterans in the Fairbanks and interior areas.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, any other member? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, thank you, Senator Terrio. And we'll set aside now the committee substitute Senate Bill 45 until after our hearing with Mrs. Peters. Okay. And is Mrs. Peters on the... Do we have that set up? She's okay. Mrs. Peters?
Yes.
Thank you for coming on teleconference so we can certainly have an opportunity to get to know you. Is there any members that have not had an opportunity to read through her application here? Then are any members prepared to ask any questions of Mrs. Peters? Senator French.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Mrs. Peters.
Good morning.
Just so I can get a little bit more of an idea about who you are, your application is fairly brief. Just tell me a little bit about yourself, what you do for a living, why you're interested in the Human Rights Commission, what you believe the mission of the Human Rights Commission is, and whether you've served before on that body.
Well, I'm Cortana Sebastian. My mother is Reverend Helen Peters. My father is the late Hardy Peters. He was born and raised in Tanana, Alaska. Lived there for 50 years. I have one son. He's 19. He's in the Roustabout training for Doyon Drilling, and I own an evening store, Sunshine Boulevard Quick Stop, next to my home. I'm employed by the Tanana Native Council. I am the president of the Tanana City School District, the president of the Tanana Gas Station. I'm a board member for Tuzitna Limited, our corporation. I'm also a board member of the Tanana Native Council. I do the community activities for our community, all the fundraisers, and I also work with our youth. I fish in the summer for king salmon, and I go moose hunting. And for this board, I was approached and asked if I would apply. I asked my boss if I could, and the response was yes. Haven't sat on this commission before. Human rights is a big issue for a lot of Alaska Natives, and I'm honored to be on the board or appointed to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have a follow-up, Mr. Friend?
Ms. Peters, will you be... it sounds like you're in Tanana. Where does the commission meet?
In Anchorage, March 4th and 5th.
And so you'll travel to Anchorage for those meetings?
Yes.
And do you know offhand how many members, the size of the Human Rights Commission and what the makeup of that body is?
There's 7 board members.
And last question, who approached you to serve? I think it's wonderful that you're stepping forward. We rely on citizens like you to come forward and help fulfill a lot of important missions like this one. And I'm just curious, who asked you to serve?
I forget his name. It's probably on one of my tablets at home.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear your sentence.
It's probably on one of my tablets at home.
Okay, it's not a big deal. It was just mild curiosity. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Peters. We certainly appreciate your interest in the area of human rights. Is there any other member? I want to give him an opportunity, Senator Kukesh.
Thank you. For the record, I wanted to say I've known her. My wife is from Tanana. And I've known Faith most of the time that I've been married, and I've been married 36 years. And I just want to say for the record that she's one of the most competent individuals I know. She is very honest. She is very forthright. She's raised a wonderful son, and I was able to attend his graduation last year and be their keynote speaker. If I had to pick somebody in rural Alaska to sit on Human Rights Commission, she would be the one of the top people that I would pick. I really have a lot of faith in her and her honesty and her ability to serve. Very rarely I'll stand up in public and say this about an individual, but I really think that this individual is above reproach and would do a wonderful job for not just Alaska Native people on the state, but for the state of Alaska. As you said earlier, Senator French, this is the kind of individual we look to serve, and I really don't think she's even a Republican. But I really would appreciate any consideration you give her. She's what a top of the list as far as I'm concerned in terms of competence.
Okay. Is there any other member wishing to ask any further questions?
Just let the record reflect that I didn't inquire as to her political party.
Let the record reflect that. Mrs. Peters, do you have any closing remarks that you would like to share with us?
I'm just honored to be appointed to the board, and I'm looking forward to working with the team. And I'd just like to thank you this morning for all that you do for the state of Alaska.
Okay, and thank you for taking time away from your work conference there in Anchorage. Thank you, Mrs. Peters. And with that, you can sign off.
All right. Thank you.
I would ask my committee aid person now at this time to pass out the authorization paper on Mrs. Peters. Okay. And allow me to introduce, this is Debbie Prater, my committee aide. My capable committee aide.
Madam Chair, I don't recall. Do we need a motion to move the name forward to the Senate floor?
I don't know.
It's customary. I mean, usually there's the formality of a motion. I don't know what would happen if we didn't make one, but we always have.
We should, just probably for the record.
Then keeping with tradition, as Vice Chair, Mr. Senator Myers, would you do that?
It's a lot of responsibility, Vice Chair. Madam Chair, I'd like to move Faith Marie Peters' name as the board member for the Human Rights Committee onto the Senate floor, I believe is the next location.
Mm-hmm. Full body, I think. Full body. Do joint confirmations.
Just okay. To the Senate House.
Confirmation floor. Process. Probably, yeah.
Confirmation process.
Yeah. Is there any objection? Okay, so I'm up.
I don't know, did you get that?
Now we'll continue with Senate bills, committee substitute Senate Bill 45, and we have, I believe, on teleconference standing by to ask any questions. Tim Wheeler, Alaska Veterans Business. Tim, are you there? Update to, okay. I'm sorry, Marty Pardons.
Pardon.
Okay, and Stacy Oates from DMV. She's not. And Tim Wheeler.
Yes, Madam Chair, Tim Wheeler's here.
Thank you.
Whitney Brewster is here from the DMV to answer the question.
Okay. Okay, now we can continue. Do any members have any questions of these? Okay. Senator French.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll just ask to build a record, and I'm not sure which witness can speak to this the best, but you all can choose who would like to respond, and I just want to build a record regarding what why improvements are necessary in the veterans' preference section of the law that we're amending here. I think Senator Huggins gave us a good overview about the policy reasons, but I just maybe some technical points about what's wrong with the statutes that exist now regarding employment preferences.
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to take the question.
We have a volunteer.
For the record, my name is McHugh Pierre, legislative liaison for Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Through the chair, Senator French. I wouldn't say that this is an improvement on the existing statute, more so a clarification and a regrouping of all of the language that currently exists. Right now, according to our personnel folks, there isn't one specific location where you can say, oh, this is what a veteran receives as a hiring preference, or these are all of the pieces that affect veteran applicants for a job for state government. So in an effort to make it more clear for our personnel folks, and according to the guidance of the Alaska Veterans Advisory Council, we're putting forward this idea of consolidating all of the issues that are on the books and making it easier for everyone to know exactly where it's at and what veterans do receive if they apply for state jobs.
Thank you.
Just to follow up. On page 6 of the bill, there's a chunk of language, 16, 17 lines, being taken out. Can you, first, tell me why it's being taken out. Second, tell me whether portions of what's being taken out are being reincorporated in other parts of the bill.
Through the chair, Senator French, I can't give you the specific details. I apologize.
Okay, would you like to come up, please, state your affiliation again and your name for the record?
Thank you. For the record, my name is Nikki Neal. I'm the Director of Personnel and Labor Relations for the Department of Administration.
Okay.
And the way I read the bill is that it's simply clarifying everything that's been being deleted is just restated in a simpler form, more understandable.
Okay. Enough. Would you,
that's
Senator?
That's exactly what I was after. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Ms. Neal.
Thank you. Is there any other senator that had any questions?
Thank you.
Okay. And we have a Pat Lobby on that has signed in. Would you like to come and state your name and affiliation, please? You're with ARP, I guess.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Pat Lobby. I'm the Advocacy Director for AARP. AARP has a large number of veterans among our membership. One of the greatest honors that can be afforded a veteran and his or her family is a final resting place in the Veterans Cemetery. However, families would prefer to have a cemetery that is closer to them. SB 45 will offer many of our veterans and their families that opportunity through the future development of another veterans cemetery, probably in the interior. AARP strongly supports SB 45. On a personal note, as a veteran of the 82nd Airborne and an advisor to a Vietnamese Ranger unit, I personally encourage you to pass this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Luby. Is there anyone else that would like to come forward and speak? Okay, sir, would you come forward and state your name for the record and your affiliation?
Good afternoon. My name is Joe Fields. I'm a citizen testifying here, but I'm a member of the Alaska Veterans Advisory Council, vice chair of that organization. And I'm a two-tour combat veteran of Vietnam with the 173rd Airborne. And this issue mostly for me is about the Veterans Cemetery, and I can tell you that it is something that every veteran that I have met in the last 40 years of veteran activity has been in favor of. How it weighs against veterans services for living veterans may be a different story, but in this case it's something that the veterans desire and have been seeking for a very long time, especially in the interior. We've had struggle just getting memorials put up there. It's taken a long time to bring around a generation that generally looked fairly unfavorably on us from Vietnam in particular. And so we've tried to rectify that situation, and this is what part of the process that brings forward the proper honors for veterans of this nation.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
If I could just...
Yes, please, Senator Passman.
I would just like to recognize Mr. Fields. Obviously, I've known Joe for 35-plus years, and I know that he's worked for all of that time in veterans issues. And so anyway, I just want to commend him for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I guess we're able to make a motion now if I don't see anybody else having any questions or comments.
You need to close public testimony.
Close public testimony.
I'd like to close public testimony at this time. So,
any committee discussion before I move the bill?
Is there any further committee discussion, and we're going to prepare then to move the bill? Seeing none, Senator Meyer.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move that we move the CS for Senate Bill 45/S from committee with individual recommendations and the attached. Actually, I didn't see a fiscal note.
The 250.
Is there a fiscal note in there? Okay. Okay, and the attached fiscal note that I don't have. Everybody else.
Do you want to take a little at ease so you can get to look at that? I think.
Well, if everybody has it, then it's obvious I just misplaced mine. So yeah. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Is there any objection to that? Okay. With that, we'll go ahead and pass the recommendation around.
I think Terrio mentioned a $250,000 fiscal note in his.
Yeah, I heard the dollar amount, but then I was looking for it and I couldn't find it.
Just take a brief at ease, please.
I figured.
signed, and then...
What's a life journal of Fairbanks? How many years was he before? Do you know what the life term of the cemetery would be in Fairbanks?
50 plus years.
50? Okay. I know that we're off the record, but I didn't know.
We're on the record.
Oh, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
I'll make a motion to adjourn. Okay.